This is CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, 807. Continuing to watch a very tragic story coming out of Akwesasne. The bodies of two more migrants have been found in the St. Lawrence River, bringing the total of dead to eight. So eight migrants have been retrieved from the waters off of the Mohawk territory of Akwesasne. That, of course, straddles the Canada-U.S. border. Those bodies recovered Thursday and Friday, consisting of two families of Romanian and Indian origins who were likely trying to enter the U.S. illegally. Police said that on Friday, and that two children were among the dead. Sean DeLude is the police chief with the Akwesasne Mohawk Police Service. He spoke at a press conference yesterday about the victims.
All are believed to have been attempting illegal entry into the United States from Canada.
He says one family was from Romania, the other from India. As I mentioned, they were discovered as a result of a search for another missing person that also started on Thursday. 30-year-old Casey Oakes, last seen boarding a light blue vessel departing from the east end of Cornwall Island in the St. Lawrence. Oakes remains missing, and police say they're continuing the search in the waterways for him.
Right now, as it stands today, Mr. Oakes is considered a person of interest that we're looking for, and there's nothing that leads me to believe at this point in time that he is related to this. The investigation will determine that.
The vessel Oakes was using later found near the bodies of the six deceased. Akwesasne police could not confirm whether Oakes has any connection to the victims, but the public speaking out this morning saying as well that the community is also a hotbed for human trafficking and exploited by those human trafficking networks. Abram Benedict is the Grand Chief for the Mohawk Council of Akwesasne. He says it's a difficult time for the community.
Let's not forget that the first responders, the police services, the fire services are our people out there, and having to unfortunately pull out eight bodies, including two children, out of the water. It's been very traumatic for us, and we're grieving as well.
Benedict says he'll continue to lobby the Canadian and U.S. governments to provide resources to make their community safe and ensure such incidents don't happen again. An update on a local front as well. We've been watching a labor dispute at Carleton University play out through the course of this week as well. Carleton University and the union representing a number of contract instructors and teaching assistants are back at the bargaining table this weekend. So that's the latest. Both sides back at the table. Trying to get a deal done as the clock ticks down on this winter semester for Carleton University students. Now, the school says the two sides have agreed to return to the table. Parties have mutually agreed to work with a neutral third-party mediator. About 3,000 graduate and undergraduate teaching assistants and contract instructors at the university began strike action on Monday. So, update to that local story this weekend as well is that the two sides are back at the table. And speaking of local news, we'll get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. The weekly rundown, our news panel, Chris Holsky, Mariana Iveson will join us to talk about a number of things in local news this week, including what do you make of the Ryan Reynolds whirlwind visit to Ottawa here? So a couple of pictures at City Hall, posing as Bruce the intern with OPH, making a pitch for the Sens. Bit of a slow news week locally, I think, but definitely making and turning some heads this week. So some thoughts on that as well. And also just how this helps in terms of his chances of the Sens being able to, or the group's chances of being able to buy the Sens, this connection with Ottawa, seemingly helping that group more than hindering them. Also talking about the raise to minimum wage that's coming up in the fall, $16.55. That's what the raise is going up to in the fall. Is that enough? We'll also get to a little bit more on the RCMP report that we heard this week. We heard from Michael Kempa last hour. We'll talk about that. And then the Donald Trump indictment. Is it just going to be pure chaos in New York, a carnival-like atmosphere when he surrenders himself to authorities coming up on Tuesday? So that coming up at the bottom of the hour on our CFRA Live Sunday political panel. Also, I mentioned the deal between Shaw and Rogers getting panned by many industry experts. We'll talk with Michael Geist, law professor at the University of Ottawa, Canada Research Chair in Internet and E-Commerce Law, about this deal, what it means for the telecommunications landscape in this country. Do these commitments that the industry minister has got from Rogers and Shaw, do they actually help? Saying billions in dollars of fines are possible if they don't follow the rules. We'll unpack the deal with Michael Geis coming up later on in the show as well. Also seeing this morning, the latest on the fallout, we'll talk about this a little bit more with our CFR Live Sunday political panel as well. But MP Han Dong, Toronto MP, now sitting as an independent after stepping aside from the Liberal caucus over allegations of contacts with the Chinese consulate in regards to the detention of the two Michaels, Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor, in China. So that story, of course, coming out a couple of weeks ago, Han Dong stepping aside, saying we need a full public inquiry, and he's trying to clear his name as well. Well, he's now issued a libel notice to Global News over their reporting on China interference. Not entirely unexpected. He had said that he was going to do this, but lawyers representing Dong say they've served Global News and several of its journalists with a libel notice over reporting that he allegedly spoke to a Chinese diplomat in February of 2021. Dong tweeting a press release from his legal team announcing the libel notice had been served on Friday night. It says, we demand that Global News issue a full apology and retraction of the false, malicious, irresponsible, and defamatory statements that Global News has published and broadcast about Mr. Dong. That's the release from Polyfaith LLP. So Han Dong has now sued Global News or put forward a statement of libel. So we'll see how that shakes out. I can say from a media perspective, when you do stories like this, and particularly almost all stories that you do, will get a legal vet in some way, shape, or form. You'll have a lawyer looking at this and saying, hey, you can't say this, you can't say this, you can say this, right? That's how this generally works. So this will be interesting to see how it all plays out, because one would imagine no Global News did their homework on this. It's a very big story, though, so we're going to continue to follow that in the latest on this as it happens here. 814, News Talk 580 CFRA. We're talking a little bit about April Fool's this morning. It is April Fool's Day. No joke out there. It is a messy one. Getting up to 13 degrees today. 13 degrees. It's going to take a little bit of a while to get there, though. Messy and rainy out there right now. Be careful, though. It is still a little bit slushy out there. Cold in some places. Maybe some freezing rain a little bit. Because it's hovering around zero right now. So just be careful if you are heading out and about, but we are getting up to a very balmy 13 degrees today. Something to look forward to. Keep those texts coming, 580-580. Tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. Let me know the best April Fool's Day prank that's ever got you. Or what have you been doing this year? What have you been up to this morning? Let us know, 580-580. Tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, chat a little bit more about Ryan Reynolds' whirlwind trip to Ottawa this week. Also, some local stories make the news in our weekly rundown panel at the bottom of the hour. Lots still to get to between now and 11 here on News Talk 580 CFRA. They stayed up all night selling cocaine and hash to an undercover cop who had a sister named Jan. For reasons unexplained, she loved the monkey man. He was a boy scout boss, he went to meet a man. Found out the hard way, nobody gives a damn. You know that they found freedom just across the Jersey line. Hopped into a stolen cop on Highway 99. When the walls came down, all the way to hell. Never saw them when they're standing, never saw them when they fell.
It was the summer of love.
Welcome back to CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, 820 here. This is CFRA Live Zero in downtown Ottawa. We've got some rain that's expected to continue throughout the day here, getting up to a high of 13 degrees, but also seeing some very, very destructive photos from the heartland of the U.S. From the Midwest, there's about a dozen states under warnings for possible tornadoes. There's been reports of at least 53 so far. No reports of any deaths so far. We'll continue to follow that throughout the morning as well. But the U.S. getting slammed again. Second straight week of massive tornadoes hitting the Midwest. Yes, I guess last week it was more the southwest part of the country. But the Midwest, just completely through the middle of the country, under a warning. Huge warnings for tornadoes. We'll continue to watch that as well this week. 821, the federal and provincial governments both been making huge investments in electric vehicle manufacturing here in Ontario, but infrastructure remains one of the major stumbling blocks to electric vehicle ownership. With a range of roughly 500 kilometers, urban use is usually no problem with a charging station in your own garage, but for longer trips, automotive and travel writer and expert Jay Canis says it's a bit of a crapshoot.
And it's not just building them, it's making sure they work. So I'm still a little hesitant to do any kind of longer road trip and depend on public charging, because sure, the stations might be there, but they're not maintained, they're broken, they're out of order, and no one knows when they're going to be fixed. So not quite willing to throw so many question marks up on a road trip.
Candy says EVs are remarkable pieces of technology, but we're nowhere near ready to make a complete break from gasoline power at this point for reasons including the cost of a vehicle, battery capacity, and charging stations. But cost also remaining a significant barrier for many at this point. Prices remain high, demand also outstripping supply at this point, so new EV orders can take months for delivery as well. Graphic video circulating from last weekend. The murder of a former Kelowna man at a downtown Vancouver Starbucks. So this video has been circulating this week, not in essence talk about the victim, but it's been showing a number of bystanders who are standing by and doing nothing to help on that aspect. So the question being raised on social media and beyond was, you know, why didn't anybody intervene in this aspect? And if you've taken, you know, courses on sociology, you may have heard of the term the bystander effect. According to Azim Sharif, an associate professor with UBC's social psychology department, it's not that surprising.
I would hesitate to draw too many conclusions about the character of the person in that situation who did nothing. It might have been just the situation that overwhelmed them. So the bystander effect is something that we've known about in psychology for 50 or 60 years.
So he calls it where people just freeze. It's the bystander effect. Overwhelmed by what they're witnessing, almost seemingly trying to calculate whether or not it's reality or not. With that causing a lot of consternation on social media as well. Sharif explaining a little bit more about the idea of the bystander effect.
Studies that have been done where they will plant somebody who's crumpled over asking for help. They record the footage of what happens, and oftentimes you'll see people who are just checking out the situation. They're not sure if they should do something. They're kind of looking around at other people, and as soon as they see one other person intervene, they're on it. They were just looking for that reassurance that something was supposed to be done in that situation.
A conversation making the rounds of social media, but 37-year-old Paul Schmidt stabbed on Sunday. 32-year-old Indrajeet Singh Gasal charged with second-degree murder on that front. And finally, Crocs. Once again, trendy for all ages. Break them out. It's zero today. And as for as long as they've been around, there's been a debate about whether they're actually good or bad for your feet. Doesn't really seem to matter. Sales up 200% the last couple of years. But to help settle that argument, Vancouver podiatrist Dr. Jenny Ling has more.
I think that they offer a pretty good, decent amount of shock absorption. I think that's probably their number one benefit. As far as whether or not it's a supportive footwear, maybe not so much in terms of support if you needed arch support or something like that.
Back in fashion is what retail analyst Matt Powell is saying. He says comfort tops the list for many.
Comfort meaning I feel better about myself. I don't feel as scared about the world because I'm comfortable. It's a cocooning, if you will. And I think Crocs embodies a lot of that. They're easy to wear. They're not expensive. There's a little whimsy to them. That's just right for the times right now.
Powell saying the sales of Crocs taking off during the pandemic, jacking up the stock market value of the company, as you mentioned, up 200%. In recent sales as well. Crocs. Go figure. 825 here. Text 580-580. Tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. Just get to a few of those before the bottom of the hour as well. A couple of things on the awful story in Akwesasne. It's still crazy. The police forces do not understand. I'm combining New Brunswick and Cornwall. These are very sad stories. Talk about just the issues that many are facing. Mark and Carr says, Andrew, why are the drowned families being called illegal border crossers when the government... Trudeau government says that people walking across are irregular. So those are two different things on that aspect. One, the irregular migrants that he's talking about, and they could be illegal as well, but most of the time seeking asylum claims is the point, but it is a very political word, right? If you're coming in and making an assignment claim, you're obviously, you know, a legal immigrant. If you are not going through any of the proper channels, you would be an illegal immigrant, right? So it is two different sides of the coin, but I will say, more attention has been paid to those coming in through Roxham Road, right? This was not the case. They were not coming into Canada. They were actually trying to get to the U.S. And I think what stuck with me with this story as well, and we still have lots to learn about this story, but just the idea to be these people, right? To be these two families, to try to get in a sense of how cold that St. Lawrence River is right now. How fast it's moving right now. A rational person would understand that death is likely. It's not just a chance, it's likely. So you're in a very desperate situation to make that choice. Whether it's illegal or not, right? You're in a very desperate situation to make that choice. And a lot of the times that desperation just stems from people wanting what we already value and have here in this country that we were born with. And some people just wanting a piece of that. There is a way and there's a system that we have for that, but it doesn't mean that there's not tragedy involved in this as well, right? Doesn't matter if they're legal or illegal immigrants. Two entire families being wiped out, drowning in the St. Lawrence River is no doubt a tragedy, right? It is, it's tough, no doubt. And to approach issues like this is always difficult because there is a political aspect to it as well, but you try to see through as much as possible in terms of the human aspect as you can. Charles says, I'm sorry they were not crossing from Canada. Cornwall Island, notable exception to being a country due to its very nature. And remember, we live where democracy was first created. The Algonquin Roundtable predates the Greeks. Greeks a bit, I will wager. That's a good point as well. And just on the Roger Shaw merger as well, before we hit the break here, Angela says, how does consolidation improve competition? Champagne pontificates that he's looking out for customers. Explain how this reduces fees, TV and cell. Does definition in the dictionary need revision? I wonder that as well. You can say all the things you want, right? You can say, oh, well, we're going to go after them. They can get a $1 billion fine. Well, you see these fines even when it comes to the airline industry, right? You have the ability to fine them. You don't. You don't. It's just what it comes down to. So I think Canadians rightfully skeptical about the power that the government and other agencies are going to wield over such a big telecom company, being a Rogers or Bell, a parent company of this station as well, right? This one more doing with TV than cell phones, but still a question nonetheless. And we just saw Sunwing be absorbed by WestJet as well. So competition tough in many industries in this country. But keep those texts coming. 580-580. Tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll have our weekly rundown news panel taking a look at some local news stories this week. Lots more to get to between now and 11 here on CFRA Live.
You're listening to CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, 837. Keep those texts coming, 580-580. You can also tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. It is time now for our weekly rundown news panel. Joining us on the phone this morning is CFRA Ottawa's Chris Holsky. Chris, I know you're barely awake, but thanks for joining us.
Yeah, who's this again?
This is Stephen Bunda.
Actually, oh, okay.
I will mention Bunda actually got us pretty good on April Fool's Day. Not typical Bunda stuff, but he changed all the TVs in here this morning to the Aquarium Channel.
That's really good.
Like, so that was his April Fool's Day joke, I guess.
Man, it's just like, I can't believe that I'm doing this again. Do you understand? It's WrestleMania weekend. I have to devote serious energy to watching approximately 12 hours of predetermined fights over the course of the next 2 days.
Do you hydrate for something like that?
Well, I do have coffee right now, so I probably will be hydrating with something else, but unfortunately it's something that is definitely a known diuretic during the course of the next 2 days. I'm really looking forward to night one. Only in pro wrestling does someone get excited about a 5'6" father who's in his 50s getting a chance to finally beat up his son in a wrestling match. It's a long, long story.
I hit off one of those. I was going to say, I hit off one of those four descriptors, I think. So
yes,
I think I'm doing all right.
You'd have to watch, I think, roughly about like 2 months of material to get it. But yeah, WrestleMania is awesome. And I'm actually not working on Monday, so I can stay up and watch night two.
Of course. And you did this on purpose, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Also joining us on the phone this morning, Marianne Iverson, radio host, entrepreneur and podcaster, host of the podcast Let's Take This Outside. Marianne, thanks for joining us once again.
Good morning. Does Stone Cold Steve Austin still wrestle? Is that still a thing?
He came back. He came out of retirement last year and had his first match in like 20 years. It was incredible. He'll show up. It's in Los Angeles. Anything can happen. The Rock might show up. I mean, he does have his LA Times. His daughter is wrestling her first professional match, at least televised, later this afternoon at NXT Stand and Deliver.
Marianne, that's definitely some kind of comment I would make, because I don't know wrestling until I played an N64 a couple of times wrestling, and I think that's like the last thing I kind of know about it. So
I watched it when it was WWF, when it was like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I had a huge crush on The Rock before he's like current Rock that we know and love as an actor, right?
Oh wow!
So those are the days. Otherwise, I don't know anything about anything.
Well, wrestling fans might be happy to hear that.
But still, that picture of Dwayne Johnson back in the day with that weird haircut and that fanny pack, iconic, instantly iconic.
Fanny pack. Oh my God! Only The Rock can pull off a fanny pack at this point.
He did it. He absolutely did not.
Go on, Marianne.
I just assume since today's April Fool's that everything we talk about today is just a joke. So.
Oh yeah. Well. I mean, any political things we'll talk about are always a joke, right?
True.
Politicians, hey? Eh? No, but we're talking about celebrities. You mentioned The Rock as one of them. So I'm kind of watching Ryan Reynolds coming here to Ottawa this week. Just this whole kind of whirlwind around him, right? We got a couple of pictures at City Hall with the mayor and OPH. Sens deal going down. I guess, Marianne, what do you make of the whole Ryan Reynolds whirlwind visit to Ottawa? Are you kind of annoyed by it yet, or is it good for the city?
I think it's great for the city. I think it's great for the Sens and the fans and seeing how hyped they are, seeing how packed it is. It's also funny to watch Ryan Reynolds play the media, right? He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how loved he is, especially in the city. And then he lived in Vanier for like 5 minutes, so people are really stoked about that, right? Like there's that like hometown connection.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. We love that right here in Ottawa.
Yeah. But, he's also just one of the biggest stars in the world. So I think that it's a really good thing when it comes to reigniting that Ottawa Senators fan base and maybe bringing in some new fans as well.
Chris, you know, Ryan Reynolds, obviously a huge celebrity on that front, as Marianne mentioned, you know, a huge star worldwide, not just here in Canada. Is he kind of good for the city in this aspect? Are you getting annoyed with it yet? What do you make of, you know, our starstruckness of Ryan Reynolds?
I must admit, I am looking forward to a future where Ryan Reynolds showing up at an Ottawa Senators game is something that is normalized. But he's very savvy. He knows how to get people talking. So eventually, and I know we're talking about hypotheticals down the line, it won't just be Ryan Reynolds showing up at hockey games. It'll be like, oh, Ryan brought Blake Lively this time, or Ryan brought Hugh Jackman this time, or Ryan brought Dwayne The Rock Johnson, or Stone Cold Steve Austin to Canadian Tire Center. He's coming in at the right time, if that does happen. I think any ownership group is coming in at the right time with this team. You were talking about the prospect of building a downtown arena, and the team itself is playing very well. If you go to a game at Canadian Tire Center tonight, well, maybe not tonight. You know what the crowd is going to be, and you know,
Leafs fans.
They're gigantic jerks, every single last one of them.
I can agree on this. As a Leafs fan, I can agree on this. Yeah,
it's like whether they make the playoffs or whether they do make the playoffs or not. The atmosphere at Canadian Tire Center in the regular season, I'm going to stress this, has changed. It has become a place, before we even talk about going to a downtown arena, where you want to go and watch a hockey game and soak in that crowd. And it's something that, if they do move downtown eventually, it is going to be an even better experience, because you're not thinking towards the end of, well, I got to go and spend the parking lot, or I've got to get on the Queensway to go out into the West End. Seeing the Ottawa Senators grow in this fashion and seeing the NHL, I think, really make this extra effort to try to get Ryan Reynolds involved in it. It could get strange, because we could see the Sens, which has always been very, very much just a local team. The fans of the Ottawa Senators are almost exclusively in Ottawa. But if Ryan Reynolds gets involved, then you're going to start seeing more Sens jerseys in places like Los Angeles, in Florida, in New York, everywhere. And suddenly they become more of a banner franchise. And this kind of opportunity is not something that every single team gets. So if the NHL does land this, or if Remington Group does buy the Ottawa Senators, it's transformational, honestly, for our hockey team.
In the timing, just as you mentioned, with the team's product on the ice as well, the timing seems to be all coming together for the Sens. So we'll see if it kind of comes together well in this ownership process as well. I wanted to move on to a couple of other topics in the news this week. This one kind of been in the news for, I don't know, like years now. But we keep seeing prices going up and up at the grocery store and beyond. So we're trying to get a sense of what people are kind of buying less and less of. Is it, you know, boutique items? Is it just regular stuff? What have you found, Marianne, that you're buying less and less of as prices continue to go up?
I find that I'm paying even more attention to sales. That's pretty much all I buy at this point. You know, I used to have salmon on a pretty regular basis, and now it's just like, unless it's on sale, I'm not getting it. So I find that, and even like fruits and vegetables, I know, you know, we're still in winter, things aren't really in season, but also a huge thing is buying like frozen vegetables or like frozen fruit versus actually like buying fresh, because it's so unbelievable right now. So I would say the fruits, vegetables, buying those frozen, any kind of seafood seems to be really expensive right now, and shopping sales. Because if I feel like I'm getting gouged every single time that I go.
It's tough to kind of escape that feeling, too. I had a text earlier saying that like even frozen fish on that front's up like 30%, so they've been trying to avoid it as well. Chris, have you been making any, I guess, sacrifices, changing anything up?
Well, here's what happened this week. After going, I can hear myself right now.
Oh, boy.
Okay, let me...
Try not to get nauseous. I hate that.
Yeah, exactly. I've got running feedback coming back my way.
Elsie's
on it. I'll try to keep my thoughts together on this. So I've spent the last several months, because it's ski season, going across the border and, you know, stopping into the Dep to go and grab 12 beer on the way back. So it had been a while, let me just say, since I had stepped into the LCBO to pick up any beer.
Gotcha.
I go over into the import aisle, and... I head over to this one section. Usually there's some great deals. There's some stuff that you can get really cheap. And I take a look at one can in particular that used to cost me $2.40 for about 500 milliliters, all the way up to about $3.60.
For the same can.
Beer, yeah, another beer, $2.95, $3.60. And this is before even any of this beer tax discussion, which is actually kicking in today, increasing by 2%, brought in. There is a silver lining to all this. As I take a look at a crappy beer like Facts, for example, which is now like $4 a can, which is just obscene, is that suddenly it's making local microbrews seem like the more affordable option. I can get something from like a Kitchissippi brewery or from Beyond the Pale, for example, that's close to $3.25 or $3.50. Now, that is a lot more than you're spending for beer, but hey, at least getting a little bit more into local pockets.
That is wild, though, to think that the local kind of breweries are kind of on par with some of the bigger breweries as well. At the grocery store or at the liquor store as well. The other one kind of money related I wanted to ask you, because I was kind of doing some math on this one. So $16.55 is the new minimum wage coming up in the fall. So I was doing some math. After taxes, about $2,700 a month, $16 an hour. So it doesn't seem, once you get kind of rent and anything else out of the way, it doesn't seem like there's a lot left. Is this enough to you, Marianne?
No. No, I actually, so I keep a budget. You know, I'm not making minimum wage, but when, you know, the average rent in Ottawa, you're not even, you know, let's not even look at mortgages for a second. Average rent in Ottawa is what, $1,800 for a single bedroom, over $2,000 for two bedroom, right? So you have a family, like, you're paying rent, and then like, you can barely afford food. How about utilities? You know, if you have a vehicle because you have to get to work, or if you have a bus, like, I don't understand, like, I don't know what the number is. I haven't done the math on it, but like, I don't see how that is enough money for people to survive right now.
Yeah, and I don't, like, right? I was just going to say, I don't know what's enough either, but like, it seems like that's still not enough.
No, especially with, if you have a family. Yeah, I don't understand how you are able to do that, especially like Ottawa is a, like, you know, I sometimes go home to see my family in small town Southern Ontario, and things are a bit cheaper there. But if you live in Ottawa, everything's just more expensive than it can be to really survive right now.
And that's what I've been using too, just like the average rent price. If you just take that out of that, like, you've got like nothing left to pay for the bills. So I was just wondering
$700 left?
Yeah. Like, how does that work for everything else in life? But Chris, $16.55, do you think this is enough heading into the fall?
Well, a lot of labor experts are going to say no. However, we are talking about a situation where the Ontario government is pitching this as the highest minimum wage in Canada. I will at least say this. I am glad to see that there are increases that are tied in with inflation going forward. It is a positive step. What I'm wondering, though, and we have a whole bunch of a lot of people talk about the balancing act because, you know, minimum wage versus small business and how much can small business afford. Eventually, what is going to happen somewhere in Canada, and I doubt it's going to be in Ontario, I doubt it's going to be in Quebec, is that somebody is going to eventually be elected and possibly run on a $20 minimum wage and see how things go with the economic system there. It's just a question of when, I think, but it's something that could be years down the road.
And that's what, you know, a lot of advocacy groups have been pushing for, somewhere between $20 and $25 an hour. So we'll see how quickly that moves.
You are not going to see that happen in Ontario. It will not happen.
I would agree. Also, the idea that somebody's going to try to use this as a kind of a political technique at some point is probably a good idea as well. But we'll continue to watch that one too. A couple of other ones I wanted to get to quickly here. The other one, a big one we've been watching this week, we were talking about this earlier as well, is the RCMP's response to the Nova Scotia shooting here. Obviously, 22 people dead in that shooting. Oh. But just all of the failures that have been outlined here, you know, not the first time for a police force, but, you know, Chris, I'll start with you. Is it time for a top-to-bottom overhaul of the RCMP?
Well, how many times have we asked this question in recent history, honestly? Well, I guess the time is now, because we have a new commissioner out the door, and I think it's going to have to start from the top, and I have no idea who they pick. It is going to be a tough, tough decision, and it's something that, at this stage of the game, is going to have to define the service as it exists going forward.
And I guess, yeah, Marianne, also kind of moving through the process of, you know, police reform has been a big issue and topic, mm-hmm. and that they're going to have to tackle that part of this as well.
I think there needs to be, you know, you and I talked about this like yesterday too. I think especially with the OPP story coming out this week about that officer who was still getting paid after being accused of rape, and that story coming out, and, you know, of course, the Freedom Convoy last year. I think there just needs to be accountability on every level of policing. To be honest, these stories just keep coming out, and just like losing faith, absolutely, time and time again.
And that's what, the report had said about Nova Scotians in terms of losing faith in the RCMP as well.
Of course.
And just a quick one here that I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on. I'm sure you've seen that Donald Trump has been indicted, reportedly set to surrender next week. Apparently, so it is happening. He's all coming to, or it's all coming to a head here. So just wondering, first of all, is this going to be a circus? But I just wanted to play you guys something. I saw this on TikTok on the Tonight page, on the Tonight Show page on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I want to play you something here.
I'm so indicted, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to go to jail, and I don't like it. I'm so indicted, and I just can't hide it. I know. I am so screwed.
So much political divide. I thought, you know, it was nice to see somebody try to bring us together with something like that. But is this just going to be a carnival? Is this going to be pure chaos, Marianne?
It's Donald Trump. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be an absolute gong show. That's like, that's my simple answer.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some actually seeing justice, and, you know, coming from something like Stormy Daniels, it just feels so, so sweet.
Chris, is this just going to turn into a carnival in New York as he turns himself in on Tuesday?
Well, the verdict remains to be seen. I think anything can happen, and a lot of it has to do with how angry Donald Trump gets over the course of the next few days and what he decides to send out on Truth Social, maybe even return to Twitter over this. Here's one prediction that I have for Tuesday. I do believe that Donald Trump, for his own campaign chances, he wants to be shown being put in handcuffs, but I'm not sure if that's going to be a necessary step if he surrenders. So what I'm predicting is you will see video footage of Donald Trump extending his arms, hoping to be arrested, have handcuffs slapped off them, and then the police officer go, no, you don't need to do that, just walk with us.
100%.
Lower his arms and then walk with them.
100% with you.
Pepper sprayed.
Well, if stuff gets out of hand, maybe. Would be the first president to ever be pepper sprayed in public. But the idea, too, is I think you're right, Chris, in a sense of, you know, that is pure martyrdom, right, in the handcuffs. It's pure 2024 material. So I think he would more than likely be happy to put on those handcuffs. But we'll leave that there. Thanks, guys, so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it, Marianne Iveson and Chris Holsky. I hope you guys have a great Saturday.
Have a great day. Thanks, guys.
With 7 hours of wrestling ahead, how can I not?
Yeah, no, you need to get some water into you and some beer.
Have fun.
Thanks, guys. CFRA Ottawa's Chris Holsky. Marianne Iveson is a radio host, entrepreneur, and podcaster, host of the podcast Let's Take This Outside. Your thoughts on what we were chatting about here, welcome at 580-580. You can also tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. Take a quick break here. Come back to you up the rest of the show here with you until 11 o'clock this morning on CFRA Live on News Talk 580. CFRA.
I can't wait for the weekend.
It's all about the weekend.
The Bell Media Weekenders.
Hey, so here we go.
No!
Powered by Barhaven Ford.
Hey, I'm Sam McDade, your Bell Media Weekender. And if you're not sure what to get up to this weekend, let me see if I can help you out. I have all the details on some really fun events happening in our national capital region. And kicking us off, it's the World Men's Curling Championship. Okay, so Canada has taken on the world's best curling teams in its hunt for the gold medal. Now, this is kicking off today, so you want to hurry hard to TD Place to cheer on Brad Gushue and the rest of Team Canada. Tickets are starting at just $15. And they also have weekend and weekday packages available online at curling.ca, so worth checking out. Another great one for the weekend and for the family kicks off today, Vanier's Sugar Festival. So you can come celebrate sugar season at its best thanks to fun-filled, family-oriented, and gourmet experiences. Enjoy free admission. We love that. And you can indulge in the festivities on site, like a musical performance by local artists, a petting farm, a lumberjack competition, sugar season meals, sweet maple taffy, and so much more. You can get your maple fix live and in person at the Vanier Sugar Festival, or you can check out those details online at museopark.ca. Now, this next one is a great one for families. This is kicking off today and continues on Sunday at Nepean Sportsplex. It's the Ottawa Parent and Child Expo, and it is the biggest and most popular parenting and kids show in our capital region. 2 days of family fun. This includes animal meet and greet with the keepers, Cody and JJ from Coco Melon. It features free gaming fun all weekend in the Games for You video game truck fun zone and tales from writer and illustrator, storyteller Lori, and so much more. Again, all happening this weekend only at the Nepean Sportsplex. Tickets are available at the door, so it's important to remember it is first come, first serve, and you can visit parentandchildexpo.ca for more information. Another great event to check out is the Ottawa Mini Comic Con. It kicks off today and continues on Sunday at EY Center and is the perfect place to celebrate your favorite comic book characters and superheroes. It's free admission. Love that again. It's also open to all ages and features vendors and collectors for everything. Toys, comics, replicas, you got video games, and so much more. It's on today from 11 to 6 and Sunday from 11 to 5. Now, if you are a hockey fan, this is your weekend. We've got playoff hockey here in the National Capital Region as our Ottawa 67s host their round one opponents, the Oshawa Generals. This is going down on Sunday, tomorrow, at the Slush Puppy Center in Gatineau with a 2 p.m. puck drop. You can get tickets for just $20 at ottawa67s.com. So some pretty affordable playoff hockey there, if I do say so myself. Now, the Ottawa Senators are back at it tonight. They will be hosting another Battle of Ontario at the Canadian Tire Center as they get set to face Austin Matthews and those Toronto Maple Leafs. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. And hey, if you can't make it down to the CTC in person, you can always tune in live to TSN 1200 for all the updates on the game. For the Bell Media Weekenders, I'm Sam McDade, and I hope you have a great weekend, friends. We'll talk next week.
The Bell Media Weekenders on News Talk 580 CFRA is powered by Barrhaven Ford, Ottawa's newest and largest Ford store.